Welcome to the Going Merry podcast, the ultimate One Piece podcast on the internet. My name is Derek, and today, as always, I have with me Amanda and Whitney. Whitney, how are you doing today? You got your mute on.
I'm hungry. That's why my brain isn't working. I'm super hungry. I'm craving some ham melon.
Some ham melon? You want it cooked or raw?
Raw, I think, sounds delightful right now.
I could make a joke there, but I'm not going to. Amanda, how are you today?
I am well. I could also go for some ham melon, whatever that is.
I think it's like a watermelon grown from a pig, something like that.
We can all just share a ham melon.
Yeah.
Team building.
Or it's a pig grown from a watermelon.
That'd be all right. I like watermelon.
Like a watermelon with a bunch of pigs as seeds.
That, are they dead?
Do you want them to be dead?
Well, ideally, I don't want pigs in my watermelon. I don't want to eat it.
What if it's like just a fully cooked ham that is in the seeds of your watermelon, like you would have on Thanksgiving or something? Well, I guess that's more turkey. My family makes turkey and ham, so
we do ham too. Yeah, I don't know. That'd be okay. I feel like the taste would be strange.
Watermelon soaked ham,
or it's just like slices of ham in the style of like a watermelon wedge.
Okay,
interesting. I'll find the new stuff.
Mm-hmm. Man, we.
Okay,
we would make a great Thanksgiving. Okay, go for it, Whitney.
Question. Do you both like watermelon?
Yes.
Not my favorite. I like it, though. Like, oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, it's fine. All right. Do you eat salt on your watermelon?
No.
I
never tried it.
I don't know if I've had only salt. I've had tahine on it, and tahine is great.
Derek, you need to try salt on your watermelon. Just a little bit. Just a sprinkle before you bite it. It's fantastic.
Right. I'll try salt on my melons.
Okay. Salty melons. That's your new name.
Salty melons. Paw paw and salty melons.
Salty melons. I'm sorry.
So what did you both think of these episodes? We watched episodes 41 through 45 this week. I thought they were pretty good episodes. Got a good wrap up to Arlong Park. What do you guys think? Nobody just jump at it or anything.
Okay, I'll go. I was happy to see the story wrap up because I was just really tired of Arlong. Not in a bad way, but like what a bad dude. Like, I remember saying a few weeks ago, I was like, I don't really know what his reason is. You know, every villain we've had before has had a reason for doing what they're doing, and Arlong's was a terrible reason, right? He just thought he was superior, and his species, he says this a lot in this set of episodes about how humans are inferior and they need to be ruled over, and he was going to be well known and rule the entire whatever. So I was just ready for him to go, and it seemed like this fight had been going on for a while. And I'd forgotten that, you know, Luffy was still underwater trying to get out of there. And I was just really excited when he finally got out because I was wanting to see how this fight would go.
Mm-hmm.
Because we saw that Arlong was very powerful, right? The fishmen are way more powerful than typical humans are. So I really enjoyed the fight. I think towards the end of this set, it was a little slower, but it was kind of seeing them all settle together and get used to each other. The last episode was really exciting towards the end for me. And I just knew Derek was sitting there just like, they're watching it right now. And he was so excited that we were seeing it. So yeah, overall pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. So I will tell you this that might help you feel a little bit better. So I'm not saying Arlong comes back. What I am saying is that we do get more Arlong backstory down the road.
Okay.
And it will help you kind of understand him more later. So like I said, I'm not saying he comes back, but I am saying he does get more depth to him at a later time.
All right.
Yeah. Amanda, what did you think of these episodes?
I thought it was a good wrap up to the whole arc. I did, maybe towards the end, I did think it was a tiny bit slow, just because the fight between Luffy and Arlong took quite a while, but
I think it was, what, three episodes? Four?
Yeah, I think so. So, I mean, but I guess it kind of makes sense that it took so long because Arlong is so powerful, and we just kept seeing how Luffy kept doing things that I thought were going to work, and they didn't quite. So he had to keep, you know, trying different things to defeat him, and then eventually perhaps he did. I'm not 1,000% sure that Arlong's dead, to be honest, but I guess we'll see. So I'm glad we got that all wrapped up and taken care of, and I'm excited to see the next set of them.
Cool. Well, are you guys ready to get into episode 41?
Ready.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So Arlong makes one last offer to Nami: return to his crew or everyone else on the island dies. Nami doubles down on her belief in Luffy and declines Arlong's offer. Luffy is finally awake again. Sanji dives in the water to free Luffy's leg from the concrete while Zoro holds off Arlong. Sanji's able to free Luffy after a minor interruption from Hachi, and Luffy quickly re-engages Arlong. So Arlong's got some strong teeth.
Yeah.
I really liked this episode. I thought it was pretty good. I will say I was 100% ready for Luffy to get out of the water. Been down there for quite a while now. I think like 4 episodes or something like that. No, not quite that long, I don't think. I think 3. But I was definitely ready for him to get in this fight and take on Arlong. I mean, you know, it's exciting to watch Luffy. It's the build up, but it's like, okay, come on, Luffy's gonna kick this guy's ass here. And I thought it was very funny that it's the first thing he does when he gets out of the water is he hurls Zoro like 50 feet in the air. Yeah. He's like basically cut in half.
Zoro should have been dead like 8 times over by now.
He should have been, because his wounds were absolutely ridiculous, and they even made a point to kind of talk about that in this episode. But yeah, I will let you guys kind of talk about this episode and stuff a little bit. Amanda, what did you think about this episode?
I was also glad that we got Luffy out of the water. And then of course once he comes out, he's still concerned about that pinwheel. He was asking.
I know. He's like, where's your pinwheel? It was like, cool.
Get it together. There's things going on here. We need to focus, please.
It was like such an innocent voice too. Like, he didn't have a care in the world other than that pinwheel.
I had another couple of moments where I was kind of afraid for the characters again, which I think it happened at some point in the last set of episodes too, but we saw that Hachi was going down to kind of take care of things below, and then I thought he was gonna attack Nojiko, but then he ended up being like sliced to shreds apparently because Zoro had just cut him all up, and I guess he said once he moves then he's basically
this room's
just
like opened up.
Yeah. Too bad. R.I.P. Hachi. Your silly commentary. Toodaloo. Yeah, but
and him getting faked out with the rubber band of doom. That was hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah, I was so confused during all that. I was like, what just happened?
Yeah, there was a lot of different things going on with the different characters because they were all kind of still separate a little bit. But yeah, I mean, other than that, I think it was kind of good to just get things rolling again with Luffy out of his underwater prison.
Yeah, for sure. Whitney, what did you think of this first episode?
I totally agree with Amanda. The pinwheel, I wrote that down because it cracked me up so much. The first thing he noticed. Also, I got to see that Hachi was okay because I thought he was totally dead, which I thought a lot of the fishmen were dead, and several of them kind of showed signs of life. after a while in this set, but that's our rule, right? Nobody's really dead. So
that's the rule.
But I don't know, that was pretty intense when he dives under the water and he does his move, the fritter frenzy. That was a good one. And then he
why does that make me think of an apple fritter?
I don't know, because it's delicious. And octopus apparently is delicious, according to Sanji. I've never had it. So.
With butter.
I like it.
You like it?
I do. I've heard it's terrible, though. It's like, or like it's really unsustainable or something. I don't know. Or it's just because...
Like fishing-wise, like environmentally?
Yeah, I think that. And then also maybe just because octopus are smart, I think people don't want to eat them. Which, I mean, I get. I understand that completely. But once in a while, it's fine.
I can totally understand that. Like, they're crazy, scary, smart. Mm-hmm. Like, this is off topic for sure, but like, I read an article once that was like, we don't have a record of an ancestor, a common ancestor of them and any other cephalopods in our fossil record, which is really strange. Like, most animals we can kind of trace back. And there were a couple of scientists who were like, well, they're aliens. That's why we don't have any fossils of
what the hell.
I believe.
I mean, really, if you think about it, if there's any animal on this earth that turns out to be an alien, could you not see an octopus? I mean, they're very intelligent. They can fit anywhere.
Elephant.
Pretty much. An elephant. They're very smart too. I could see that. Anyway, but yeah, and then you know he fucking explodes in the water because Zoro's like, well, the wounds are fine until you start moving, and then you see him just explode under the water.
Hachi turned into a big red asterisk.
Yeah, it was rough. Let's see, we talked about how Luffy grabs Zoro immediately and flings him off into the unknown, and he headbutts Arlong first off, and I love that because he just like goes at him, right?
I have to wonder how exactly he made that headbutt with Arlong's nose. Like, that's a long, sharp nose.
Maybe he hit him towards the side. I don't know. Maybe. Because I didn't realize till this same episodes that his nose was so strong.
Mm-hmm.
When he kind of made it a point to talk about his own nose and he talked about his teeth and all that stuff. And I think at one point, Arlong, I can't remember the move. It was like a shark dart, maybe. Yeah. And that's probably in the next episode. I can't remember. But he lands
somewhere there, yeah.
He lands in the concrete with his nose like a dart being thrown at a dartboard. So, I mean, it's a really strong nose. But speaking of, the one quote I wrote down besides the pinwheel quote was when Arlong, he's on his soapbox about how fishmen are better than humans and yada, yada. And he says, do you know what the difference is between you and me? And Luffy goes, the nose?
Webbing.
The jaw. Like, he just, oh, sweet little baby Luffy, he's so innocent, naive.
I mean, you gotta love that he, you know, isn't biased or anything at all. Like, he just sees a person.
Yeah, so I don't know, it was interesting to see the back and forth. Like Amanda said, there were things that Luffy did and I was like, all right. And then it didn't work. Right. And Arlong was overcoming him at every step. So it was just, these first three episodes were kind of like a big long fight that you have to keep watching. So was it good?
Yeah. Yeah. It was good. I really enjoyed the episode. It was funny. Cause like you said, Arlong kind of went on a whole speech about how fishmen are so superior and all this stuff, and he's like, you know why you'll never be the king of the pirates? Because you can't break a column with teeth. I'm like,
what? That's the reason.
What exactly does that have to do with anything? Well,
that's what they always say, you know?
but I mean, I was like sitting there contemplating exactly what he was trying to get across by that. And I just think it was a stupid ass comment.
Well, that's part of Arlong's downfall in a way. Like, he's so full of himself and his quote species that like he underestimates a lot, right? Even though he knows that Luffy is a rubber man and has these powers that the other humans don't have, he doesn't ever entertain the fact that he's going to beat him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think until close to the end of the fight.
Yeah. I think that, yeah, I think that's fair. For sure. And I think there's been several people, like, it seems like to me that a lot of the, sometimes that's a good mindset, like with Luffy, because Luffy has that mindset too. And it's like a good thing, but it's also a good thing because he can back it up, you know? Mm. And Arlong, sure, I'm sure he backs it up most of the time, but I mean, I think he had his hands full there and he knew it, whether he wanted to admit it or not. I think a lot of why he was talking so much was him being in denial over the possibility that he could lose that fight.
Mm-hmm.
Either right. He's just that damn full of himself. One of the two. So yeah, anything else on, wow, that was a, there just wasn't necessarily a lot that happened in that episode. Like, because Luffy didn't even get out of the water for like the first 15-ish minutes or something like that of the episode. But I mean, it was a good episode. So anything else on this episode in particular before we move on?
I just had one silly little thing that I noticed.
Yeah.
It's probably been there before because I think these animators know what they're doing, but I just hadn't noticed it. When Sanji, I think it was when he was swimming down into mm-hmm. the water again, I noticed that he had a little like bucket chain thing. Like, you know, I don't see this anymore, but like when I was in like middle school, high school, all the like cool kids used to have those wallet chains that would attach to their like belt loop on their pants or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It just looks so cool. I was always like, oh, I want one of those. And then I noticed it on him this time. And I was like,
that's cool.
That's so cool.
Like a little pocket, like a little pocket watch or something.
Yeah. But it was in his like pants. So I'm assuming it's like a wallet thing. I mean, it could be a pocket watch in the pants. I feel like they're usually in the vest, but
yeah, I feel like they are too.
Either way. That was cool.
There was a movie I watched. I think it was the Lone Ranger movie with Johnny Depp that came out like 10, 12 years ago or something like that. I don't know. I think it's been longer. I don't know. Anyway, I think he had a pocket watch in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And he would like flip it around his hand so it would like swing around his hand a couple times and just land perfectly, and he'd pop it open.
Nice.
And I was like, that's so badass. And I had to get a pocket watch, and I started doing that. Like, I kept my pocket watch and I would flip it around my hand.
I knew you were gonna say that.
I had to do it.
Pocket watch and want yourself to flip it.
Yeah, I had to do it.
Watches, this is cool. We need to bring that back, that whole fashion with like the whole three-piece suit and the pocket watch. People dress like idiots now, so.
I mean, that's fair. And I'm also one of those idiots, and I will also say, I don't want to change my work.
It's fine. I'm just bitter about bell bottoms and stuff and like low-rise jeans coming back.
Oh, yeah.
Can get rid of that stuff.
Pry my mom jeans out of my cold dead hands.
I know.
Skinny jeans forever, and leggings actually are more comfortable. And I have a side part. What are you gonna do about it?
Same. Never gonna do about that. I look dumb. I look like a colonial person with Emily Dickinson.
So you need to get like a bonnet or something like that, like a pilgrim. Yeah.
Like there's that meme of like when girls do a low ponytail. Some of them look cute, but then you tend to look like Paul Revere or something.
I always tell my kids I look like Thomas Jefferson when I wore my hair.
That's so awesome. True.
So sad.
Now, okay. All right.
That was our fashion segment for the day.
There we go. I'm so glad that we are all up on the times. Bunch of fashionistas here.
Some kid is listening to us like, oh my god.
How old are these people?
They're like, they are listening and taking tips, okay? They're taking notes on this podcast on how to dress fantastic.
Yeah.
So, bell bottoms, three-piece suit, a pocket watch.
No bell bottoms.
No bell bottoms.
Bell bottoms are the worst.
They look stupid.
Well, and if you're short like me, they drag the ground and they get disgusting. Yeah.
Mm.
Listen, I have a Golden Girl shirt on and leggings. That's the epitome of comfort right there.
Interesting. Okay.
Interesting.
See, I've got that smug look on my face, like I could spoil something, but I'm not going to.
What, are the Golden Girls going to show up? I don't.
That would be awesome. I fucking love Betty White.
I love them all. That should be our next podcast, a Golden Girls rewatch. Hell yeah. If anybody wants to do that, hit me up.
I've never even watched it.
What? It's amazing. Okay.
You're so excited.
Moving on.
Okay. Are you guys ready for episode 42?
Mm-hmm.
Sweet. Arlong tries to inform Luffy that he will never succeed as a pirate when there are fishmen involved. Luffy is having none of it. He instantly shatters Arlong's teeth, but Arlong demonstrates that he can regrow them. Luffy comes up with an idea. He knocks out another set of Arlong's teeth. Luffy decides he's going to try and even the playing field by putting a set of Arlong's teeth in his mouth too. Arlong dives into the water and shoots out of the water like a torpedo aimed straight at Luffy. Luffy is able to catch Arlong's attack and pile drive Arlong straight into the ground. Arlong goes into a rage. To avoid his attacks, Luffy jumps into a room full of maps and sea charts. It's the room where Nami has been held for the last 8 years and forced to survey the East Blue for Arlong. So, I gotta say, I think one of my favorite bits is Luffy putting Arlong's teeth in his mouth. Like, that was just hilarious. And, like, I loved Yosuke thinking exactly what, like, saying exactly what everybody was saying. It just, that can't be sanitary.
Yeah. Everybody was kind of shocked. Like,
but it was really funny. I really liked that.
Yeah. He's not concerned with germ theory at all.
No, I don't think he has any. No, he's definitely not. Amanda, what did you think of this episode?
This was a very teeth-heavy episode.
It was.
Lots of teeth action going on, and more of the... I got really irritated at hearing Arlong talk about how the fishmen are superior.
He said much.
He said it through the whole stretch, but it was just like excessively happening in this mm-hmm. one. I'll be happy if I never hear that sentence ever again. but I wasn't expecting Luffy to be able to shatter his teeth.
Mm-hmm.
I was shocked too.
Yeah. And then I was like, oh my God, this is, you know, here we go. He's going to do it. But then kept growing teeth back.
Yeah. over and over again.
Had to find new ways to do it. And then that whole dentures situation. Really funny but gross.
Yeah. I like how Arlong could just gently pull his teeth out and like they all stayed together and everything.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I'm not sure weird. That's how that works.
I don't think so. Yeah,
that was a little strange. And then I kind of was waiting for Nami to get a little bit more involved, especially when Arlong was kind of antagonizing Luffy and telling him, you know, you're so stupid, like you're a terrible captain. Why does your crew even bother to follow you? You're, mm-hmm. you know, terrible at everything you do, basically. And I kind of wanted Nami to step in there and, you know, defend him a little bit.
Yeah, wave around her
bow staff, but she was pretty off to the side for most of this, which is fine. I mean, she mutilated her own arm in the last episodes before, so I guess maybe she was a little sore, didn't want to fight.
I mean, so I agree with you, and I think that's a fair point, but I also want to throw in the fact that Nojiko was shot in the last episodes and was underwater Ooh. For like 30 minutes following that.
Yeah. That's why she's better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, I guess I would have liked to have seen a little bit more Nami kicking ass there, but she was kind of off to the side. And I was a little surprised to hear Usopp coming in, because he did say something to the effect of like, oh, I got your back, Luffy, or something. I'm like, really? He's the one? He's the only one here?
Yeah, and okay. As he hides behind the wall, we got your back! Damn it, Usopp.
He is so aggravating these five episodes, which he always is. But and I forgot to mention the last episode, he said something, because they did a lot of I don't know what you call it, but like they were showing stuff from the previous episodes to kind of catch you up. And when he was still fighting Chewie, he said if he didn't fight with all he had, he didn't deserve to be on the same ship with the Straw Hats. And I was like, yeah, that's correct. You know, like he finally realized that like he wasn't bringing anything to the table. And he keeps saying, I'm Captain Usopp. And it's like, no, you're not. You're not even participating. And then he does this, like he'll do something good and I'm like, okay, he's coming around. And then he'll just go back to the same shit that he was doing before, where he was like hiding and pretending that he did good stuff. And that's, I don't know. That's just, that hit me when he said that.
Mm-hmm. And like, he had to point out to Nami too, that he won. Like he was very excited that he won. Like he didn't see Zoro or Sanji or Luffy or anybody else going, hey, look at me. I won. Look at me.
Because they repeatedly try to help people.
Yeah. Usopp's like, I took out one guy. I'm good. And that's actually, so that was kind of one of my quotes. Amanda kind of touched on it a little bit, and then Whitney went into it. And it was one of my quotes from Luffy, where Arlong was talking about how worthless Luffy is as a captain. And Luffy responded, he said, I'm worthless without my crew to help me out. You're right. I don't have a clue how to use a sword, you bastard. I'm a terrible sailor. I definitely can't cook. I can't even lie. Without my friends to help me, I would have been dead a long time ago. Which, one, Luffy's absolutely right.
Yeah.
Like, he definitely could not have gotten this far without everyone around him except for Usopp. And I think it's funny that Luffy couldn't even like necessarily come up with something that Usopp brought to the table other than he lies.
Yeah, and Usopp knew exactly who he was talking about when he said that, because he was like, hey.
Exactly. Yeah, so that was quite funny. Right. But I enjoyed that quote, but because I do think that there's a lot of merit to what Luffy said, and part of being a captain is, you know, putting strong people around you to kind of count, you know, to make up for your weaknesses. And he's definitely done that to this point in time. So I liked that. And I just liked the fact that he was like throwing shade at Usopp slightly, even if he didn't mean to. Actually, he meant to. He just didn't give a damn.
He's just speaking the truth, right? Like he does. That's what he does.
Exactly. Whitney, what did you think of this episode?
I really like the dialogue in this episode, because there was a lot of fighting, but they talked a lot too. It kind of reminded me of like watching Spider-Man fight with someone. It was a little bit of trash talk with a little bit of explanation. I like that they threw in a little bit of scientific fact there with the teeth, right? Because sharks grow back their teeth whenever they fall out, just not that quickly. That would be terrifying, even more terrifying than I already think sharks are, if you go back that quickly. But it was bothering me that this whole village was gathered to fight and Nami was there to fight and nobody helped. Like everybody stood there. They never helped, ever.
No.
That was kind of aggravating, which I don't know if it was like a, we'll just be in the way. But I mean, God, they could have been a distraction or something. I don't know. It just felt really weird to me. But I liked seeing Luffy's new tricks. He did the finger shield.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like,
put his fingers together to block the shark dart, the nose, Arlong's nose. And then he makes like a whole fish net for Arlong to jump into and catch him, which was really cool. One of the funniest things I thought Luffy said to him was, he said, quit your bragging, you're not that awesome. And I was like, that's exactly what I say to Derek almost. Me and Luffy.
That's fair.
And then when they finally got up to the map room, because at first Nami's like, that's And we're like, that's what is it, Nami? Because you could tell it was bothering her. And it turned out to be the room where she like tirelessly worked on charting the ocean for him. And he starts talking about how he's going to keep Nami no matter what. And he says that Nami belongs to him, which was super gross.
Oh, Arlong said that.
Yeah, you
Yeah.
don't own people. I know they're pirates, but still, it's really gross. And what I liked about that is Luffy's response was like, "Nuh-uh, she's mine." He said, "She's our navigator." And a sneak peek into the next episode, he doesn't come out and say, "Nami, you're ours." He says, "Nami, you're my friend." Right? So, that just kind of expounded upon all the grossness that I already felt for Arlong. He's so gross, right? That he thinks people belong to him. So.
Really like that, Whitney. I knew you brought something to the table.
You do. Thank you for not doubting me ever.
Never. Absolutely never. I think one of the things I really liked, or one of the quotes that made me laugh, because, and I've said stuff similar to this in life, and I know a lot of people have, but it's actually a Zoro quote. And he said, if he was talking about Luffy, and he said, if he dies, I'm gonna kill him.
Yeah, I'm gonna have that one too. I love it.
But yeah, I really enjoyed this episode. I really enjoyed the fighting in it. And
These episodes were a little light on Zoro, which was kind of sad.
they were, I think, because he was napping the whole time.
Yeah, he was injured, but still, I like seeing him. So,
he had a good scene a little further down, episode 44. I made a quick note of that. We can get to
Did
that
you?
later.
Okay, I'm excited to hear what it is.
It's like the same level of importance as the Sanji's wallet chain. So it's nothing
Okay, sweet.
Oh.
I mean, so I get what you're saying, but at the same time, we also did go on about that wallet chain for quite a while.
We did.
So
This
that's a
may
pretty
lead
decent
into
level.
another, yeah, it might lead into another entertaining tangent. Yeah.
One of the things that I thought was really stupid in this episode was there's the scene where Arlong has like two sets of teeth in his mouth, and he's like trying to hit Luffy with them, and he like kind of traps Luffy, I guess. And so all you see is Arlong's back, and you're just seeing him and like throwing his punches, and Luffy's screaming, and then it's like showing from the crowd. And it's like you can't actually see what's going on. You just see him throwing his fists, and you just hear Luffy screaming, and that's it. And then it shows you what's actually happening, and Luffy used one of Arlong's fishmen as a shield, and so Arlong was like punching him. And so, like, I get that maybe from the back we didn't see that, and maybe the people from the village didn't see that, but Arlong, guy, are you just like closing your eyes when you're throwing punches or something like that? Like, you were punching it for like 20 seconds and you didn't even notice you were punching your own guy. I was like, okay, that's what the fuck. But yeah, I thought that was pretty stupid. But that was my last note on this episode. Anything else on this particular episode?
Nope.
Nope. Okay.
I've got to find a better way to transition here.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Nope works.
No.
No. No, sir. As Arlong continues to say asshole shit about how Nami will remain with the Arlong pirates, Luffy notices that the pen sitting on the desk is stained with blood. Looking around at the desk, bookshelves, and room full of maps, Luffy realizes that he is in what has essentially been Nami's prison cell for the past 8 years. Luffy blows a gasket and begins to hurl the desk, bookshelves, and maps out the window. The spectators below don't understand what's happening, but Nami begins to tear up. With one final leg drop, Luffy shatters Nami's room, Arlong Park, and defeats Arlong along with it. As the crowd celebrates Luffy's victory, Colonel Nezumi and his Marines arrive in an attempt to claim the treasure remaining at Arlong Park. Zoro steps in and puts Nezumi and his Marines in their place. Once he gets back to his base, Nezumi calls Marine HQ to have a bounty placed on Straw Hat Luffy. So, I just want to say real quick, one thing that I hated about this episode was when Luffy was, like, hurling all of the shit out of the room. And, like, you're starting to see Nami, like, tear up and everything. And I absolutely hated that they had Johnny and Yosuke talking in the background. Like, if they were saying, like, meaningful shit, I get that, you know? Like, if they're saying something that's actually happening or, like, trying to fill in the blanks or give you more information on what's going on, I understand that. But they weren't doing that. They were just saying random shit on whether or not they thought Luffy would win, you know, was winning the fight. And, like, so them talking kind of ruined the moment for me of like, the pain or I guess even maybe even the relief that Nami was getting watching all of that stuff being shattered and knowing what Luffy's up there doing for her. So I felt like if they weren't talking, that moment would have been a little bit bigger. But that was one thing I noticed that kind of pissed me off. And I actually watched these episodes twice and it pissed me off both times. So what did either one of you think of this episode?
Now that you say that about that particular scene, I wonder if that distracted me because I almost couldn't tell if Nami was upset or grateful for what was going on.
I think it was like a mixture of both. Like, I think
right, because
the memories of her past were upsetting her, but she was also thankful and like a weight was lifting off her shoulders. I think it was a little bit of both.
Right. And then I also wondered, like, I know all of that work that she did is like ridden with trauma, but it is very useful charts and stuff to have. And she did spend a lot of time doing it. So I kind of wondered if she was upset that it was all getting destroyed. And I'm sure it's useful to have. So kind of too bad that we got rid of all of it. But, I mean, I'm sure she can do it again and it'll be fine. And maybe it'll be better if, you know, because time's gone on and she's practiced how to do it more. And now that she won't be in a state of distress, hopefully it'll be easier for her to do them again if they need that.
Now that you mentioned that, I feel like Nami would have to have a photographic memory to be able to draw charts and stuff that well.
True.
I don't know. I've never drawn anything like that before, other than like in sixth grade, I made an island up and did that for a project. But I can't imagine that that's easy. And like being able to, because it's not like they have planes or anything. So it's not like she can get an aerial view of the island or where landmarks and stuff are. Like, I feel like that would be pretty hard to draw, even just walking around.
Right. I'm not sure exactly how she did all of that, but
yeah, I don't know. Interesting. Anyway, continue. Sorry.
I think, let's see, what else did I have here? Luffy was definitely really, really mad at the beginning of this episode.
Yeah.
You could just tell that he was like on another level of pissed off.
He was getting that face.
Yes. Like the shadowy eyes and all of that stuff was happening. Just more fighting with Arlong. Arlong vampire bit him at one point. I was kind of concerned. I was like, is he gonna rip his head off with that? Oh my god. And then let's see. Yeah, I guess the fight was good. I'm glad that it finally wrapped up. And again, like I said earlier, I wasn't really sure if Arlong was dead or not.
Mm-hmm.
It certainly seems like it. But then again, he kept retaliating against Luffy when I thought the fight was about over. So we didn't see him like dead. So who knows? Maybe we'll find that out at some point in the future. And I was not pleased to see Nezumi and his gang of idiots back again. And of course his little base is like shaped like a mouse. That was the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
Was it?
I hate him.
I don't know why. I thought it was shaped like an igloo. I guess I missed like the head area.
It was the head. It was like the top head of a mouse. And so it had ears on the top of it and had like a little thing and like a hat or something in the middle. It looked dumb.
Okay.
At least he embraces the fact that he looks like a rat.
Yes.
Well,
but I'm glad that they got kind of kicked out at the end.
Yeah.
Whitney did ask last week for Zoro to handle Nezumi, so she did get that wish.
I did get my wish. She beat the shit out of him.
I wish we could have seen it though. Like it would have been pretty satisfying to actually watch.
After Zoro slept through like the entire building collapsing, which I thought was
the like,
what the hell's going on?
Yeah, the bricks falling on him really made me laugh, that was honestly. So funny. And like he completely forgot what was going on too.
It's like, well, somebody just let Zoro recover, please. Like just let him be for a few days and just let him be. He's not gonna get any better.
Amanda, did you have anything else on it?
The only other thing I had was I liked the little high five that they did at the, I think it was, I didn't write it down, but I'm sure it's Luffy and Nami.
They did like a high five at the end. So I liked it, but it almost kind of, like, I almost felt like Luffy deserved a hug from Nami there a little bit. Like,
yeah.
I kind of felt more huggy than high fivey. That's just me though.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Some people just aren't huggers.
I know. Some people aren't. That's 100% fair.
I'm usually not, but it depends who it is.
Yeah, it depends who it is for me too. I agree.
All right. So Whitney, what did you think of this episode?
I mean, you guys pretty much covered all of it. It was a lot of fighting. It was a quick wrap up. The most interesting part for me was how quickly Luffy went last episode from doing this fight where he's almost having fun and like, whoa, oh my gosh, that's cool. He can do this. And whoa, that was close, to extreme anger, like he is about to destroy. So I thought that was interesting. I wrote that he was destroying the map room, which I kind of just thought it was a nice thing, and I thought Nami, to me, she was appreciative. But you make a good point, like that is a lot of valuable information that's now gone. So but I didn't think about that during the show.
I didn't either,
but I had written that's the nicest thing Luffy has ever done, because it was it was done of no benefit to him at all. It was all about her and all the trauma she'd been through. So
absolutely. I loved it.
Yeah. So other than that, you know, it was super nice, you know, him getting up there. Like I said before, Nami, you'll always be my friend. And she just goes, yeah. Okay. Thank you for saving my life. Yeah. Like, whoa, Nami, stop getting so emotional. But yeah, everything you guys said, Nezumi rat face got the shit beat out of him by my boyfriend, and all is right with the world. And the wanted poster is here, the one that I see between commercial breaks that some people don't see because I watch on Hulu and I don't know why. But yeah,
I wish I got the wanted posters on Netflix. I really do.
Just watch it. Do you have Hulu?
Yeah.
Watch it on Hulu.
I'll have to watch
it. You dummy. Hulu. Come on.
I don't even remember.
Funny because like, and this may not be true every time, but they play different music for who's going to show up.
Yeah.
In the wanted poster. And so like, Usopp sounds like a circus song, which is appropriate to me. And Sanji's is like smooth jazz every time. So I try to like predict who it's going to be. Most of the time I'm right, but.
Because they, so like, it's funny because those eye catchers where they, because they use the same tune for like, Luffy has the same tune every time or whatever. And so every once in a while, like if you're getting a good Luffy scene, they will play some music with him. And somewhere in that, like in that riff, they will include the music from his eye catcher.
Yeah.
And so they do that with all of them. They include their eye catcher music in the big scenes with them. So it's pretty neat when they do that.
I really need, you know, the song that we talk about when shit's going down. It's like bum, 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 bum. I need that to be in the live action. Like it can be orchestra or whatever, but it's, I love that song.
I love that song. It gets you,
every time
it get you like up, pumped up.
Yeah, because you know something's going to happen. So I would just love for that. And it doesn't have to be repeated and overused or whatever, but just a little bit of hint of that would be awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Like, and I would be surprised if they don't do a little bit of that or something like that. Cause that's like, that's some like iconic One Piece shit.
Right. Right.
You know, One Piece fans absolutely love that shit. So I feel like they have to use it at some point just for fan service.
Cool.
Cause like, I think that's going to be a lot of what the live action is going to be. I think from what I understand, it's going to be something to try to get more people interested in the anime and the manga. So it's going to be for new people watching the show, but I think they're going to throw in little hints of stuff as fan service for the people, you know, for people that have been watching the show or reading the manga for a long time, like throwing in those extra nuggets to make it entertaining for everybody, whether you've seen the show or not. So I would be surprised if they don't do that. A couple things I did since we're kind of getting to the end, or like we're now at the peak of this arc, I guess you would say, because basically this next episode is the resolution and 45 is after they leave Arlong Park. So overall, Arlong, so we've got his defeat now. How would you compare him to the other, you know, bad guys that we've had in this arc so far?
I think Arlong, are you talking about how dangerous or how threatening? Is that where how we're ranking them? Or like likability as a villain?
I would say, I guess, kind of overall, like a little bit of both. You know, how dangerous do they feel? Do you think he was kind of well written, I guess you would say?
I do, because I wasn't sure at first, because like I said, I couldn't really pin down what made him tick. Like, is he anything more than just a greedy pirate who wants to roll and take money from people? And he turned out to be a little bit more than that, right? He had this superiority complex that, you know, we've seen in human history, right? That I think I'm better than you and I'm going to rule over you because of that. And so I like that they put that in there, because it made him a little bit more complex than just, I'm a fish man and I'm powerful and I'm going to take your money. So for me, I think he would be like middle ground.
Okay.
Because I say that because he was super powerful, right? He caused a lot of damage and a lot of people were hurt. You know, Usopp got the shit beat out of him. Zoro already had the shit beat out of him, but he had even more beat out of him. Sanji almost died by diving to like the deep where it's pressurized or whatever, you know. Luffy was about to die had he not been stretched out of the water. So it was pretty high stakes, I think. I felt more high stakes for this one than I did the other one so far.
Okay, good. Cool. Amanda, what do you think?
I think I can agree with that. I've said before that I wasn't really sure about him or where he fell on that scale. As in comparison to Kuro, for example,
who's
pretty bad too. But I think this stretch just showed even more how terrible he is with the whole Nami is mine kind of thing. And yeah, he's so hard to get rid of. And he's cruel. Like the way that he, you know, was collecting all of that money from the townspeople, and he just does not care about killing anyone. His violence towards Bellemere was awful as well. And then, you know, he's taking a child into his service basically as a slave to do all of this work. And then we find out obviously that he didn't really have any intention of letting her go, as he said that he would in the past. So yeah, he's pretty awful. I still am not sure, I guess, if where I would if he or Kuro is one over the other, but they're both just pretty bad.
Yeah, like I think they were both pretty like I think they had their own like aura or whatever, like eye-catching, mind-catching things surrounding them, you know, mm-hmm. like their characteristics that set them apart, that made you feel it when they were on screen. So I think you're right. I think it was probably those two more than some of the others, like fucking Krieg. I still fucking hate him. I definitely think you're right. I think Arlong is definitely top two for me out of this. So like, you know, kind of like Amanda said, I don't know who would be higher, because like him and Kuro had their own things. Because I think Kuro still kind of felt more oh shit to me at certain points. Like he felt, Kuro felt more horror movie to me.
Yeah.
Like he felt like the guy that was going to come out of the closet and stab you in the middle of the night. You know, he felt boogeyman-y.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He seems more intelligent too, which is mm-hmm. scarier. Like he thinks about all of this stuff. And then whereas I think Arlong is just like reacts, because he just is terrible. So his immediate like reaction is just to be violent, or, you know, to take whatever he wants. But he doesn't seem to be as calculating as mm-hmm. Kuro.
And he doesn't need to think. He's too much of a badass to think, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah.
And Arlong like cared about his crew, right? Like he was mm-hmm. upset that his crew was defeated and hurt and dead and whatever. Kuro was going to kill his own crew. Like he was going to kill everyone in his way. And so like that psychopathic mentality that he had was definitely a little scarier. Plus he had some really good defensive strategy, right? He pussyfooted mm-hmm. all over that place. He had his claws, and he was a real threat, especially because Luffy is susceptible to sharp things, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I can put Kuro up there as well.
Yeah. And then the other thing I kind of wanted to talk about, because I've heard quite a few people like just talking about how while this art does have good storytelling, the thing they don't like it is it makes Nami kind of feel like a damsel in distress. I don't necessarily agree with that. Like, don't get me wrong, I can see where that point of view comes across, because this is something, you know, she's been stuck in a jail cell for basically for 8 years. She's been stuck in a situation based, you know, in this terrible, terrible situation, and she was not able to get herself out of it. She had to have, you know, Luffy to come save her or whatever. But I don't think that's what this arc really was. Like, it felt more to me like as corny as it sounds, and I think what this show kind of stands for more is a friendship thing. Like, I think it's more setting the point that it's, you know, you're going to come to points in your life where there's just things you're not going to be able to handle on your own. And it's okay to ask for help. Your friends are there to help you. I don't remember. Oh, it was John Wick 4. There's a quote that's said because John Wick thanks one of his friends for the help. And his friend says, friendship doesn't mean much when it's convenient. And so that kind of goes into this a little bit. Like, I didn't really feel the damsel side of it. I think it's more of a thing that you can ask your friends for help. And when you have your friends around you, you're more likely to get out of a tough situation. And you're a better person whenever you have your friends around you to help lift you up. So did either one of you feel like this arc was damsel-y at all? I'm just curious. Like, if you did, that's fine.
I don't think so, because it did a lot of story building to show that Nami basically took charge of her own life. And yeah, Arlong ended up double crossing her, but for 8 years, she decided at a very young age that she was going to fix everything, right? That wasn't her mm-hmm. job. to do that. And she was pretty fierce and smart herself. And it's like you said, up until that point, it's not like she went 8 years waiting for somebody to save her, right? She had a plan. It was getting ready to work. It just so happened that the Marines were there to take that money because that was what Arlong was planning to do to keep her. And we can't, especially as a woman, like it's easy sometimes to get in that mindset, at least for me, to be like, I'm not asking for help. I can do it. I can do it. I don't want to ask anyone. I hate asking for help. Sometimes you need to. And it's the fact that Luffy and the crew were there, they might not have been there. And then what was she going to do, right? She didn't ask them to come to that island. They came there of their own free will. So I don't know that she wouldn't have beat them somehow. Maybe she would have thought of something else. So to me, that doesn't scream damsel in distress, right? She wasn't tied up, helpless, waiting. It's just that she had tried everything, and eventually she realized that she couldn't do it on her own, so she asked for help. So I don't, to me, that doesn't come off as damsel-y, but I'm interested to hear if somebody thinks that, what their argument is, because I'll listen to that. But
Yeah, I'd be interested to hear it too. Like, if there's opposite points, I'm definitely
yeah,
interested
like
for
I'm not
sure.
averse to hearing it. I'm not going to be like, well, you're wrong, but
Yeah,
you know.
I think it's a fair thought. Amanda, what did you think?
I agree completely. I mean, she definitely was not waiting around all those 8 years for somebody to come and help her. And I don't, even though she irritates me sometimes, I don't doubt that she can take care of herself. I mean, because she's so smart, like, you know, obviously with all the
Yes.
charting and all of the conning that I'm sure she did to get all that money, she managed to do it. I mean, she was so close, and I don't think her finally asking for help was, you know, damsel-y. It just kind of all happened to line up well that she met this group of people and it was the right group of people that she needed at that time that, you know, would be stubborn about leaving her alone. So yeah, I don't think she, I mean, she was, yeah, she wasn't sitting there going, woe is me. She was in charge of it for all that time, so.
Yeah, she was for most of it. I would definitely say she was. And the last thing I had on this episode was, I don't know if you guys caught it or not, we finally got to see how the One Piece phone system works. The transponder snail at the very end when Nozomi called Marine HQ. So it's basically a Whitney, you're giving me a face. Did you catch it or not?
Yeah, I do now, but when, because I'm
Yeah.
when are you talking about? But when you rat face, yeah, got it. Yeah.
But yeah, so like we get to see the transponders now, how they like have like a speaker or something like that on their back or whatever, like a walkie-talkie, and they talk through the snails. No clue how that works. I don't think that's scientifically possible, but it's kind of funny. I like to call it snail chat, you know.
So is that how all of them do it? It's not just like specific to the Marines or something.
Nope, that's the phone
Interesting.
system in One Piece. So yeah, we get to see
Thankfully.
snail chat for the first time. Anything else on 43 before we move on to 44?
Onward. There you go. That was good.
I
I'm brainstorming here. I'm just, you know,
feel like she's
spitballing.
been thinking about this for like the past 10 or 15 minutes. What can I say when he's ready for the
Haven't listened to a word you said.
That sounds pretty normal.
What are we doing?
All right, episode 44. Kokoyashi Village holds a festival to celebrate their independence from Arlong, as Zoro finally gets his wounds from Mihawk treated by the town doctor. Luffy realizes that it would be smart to have a doctor on the crew too, but not until after they get a musician. Nami gets her Arlong tattoo removed and replaced with a pinwheel and tangerine tattoo. Nami says one last goodbye to Bellamere as she walks out of the house and heads to the port where the Straw Hats wait for her. As the Straw Hats pull away, Nami sprints through a crowd of people and jumps on the ship at the last minute. Once on the Mary, Nami reveals that she stole everyone's wallet as she ran through the crowd. Amanda, I need to know, what's the Zoro thing?
Oh, it's just when they were leaving, he pulled the anchor up by hand.
Oh.
Like, there was no crank or anything, like on a normal ship. He just lifted that thing out of the water.
Take it to the gun show. Yep.
That was it.
I'm going to Google right now how much an anchor weighs.
Ooh.
Okay.
One arm too. He just did it with one arm.
I think it kind of depends on the anchor. Because, like, you know, an anchor for a pontoon boat is obviously going to be a lot smaller than the anchor that the Mary would use.
Okay, so, like, for a small 20-foot boat, the anchor weighs... Wait, that can't be right. Hold on. Pause.
Pause.
Okay, how about a cruise ship anchor?
Okay.
Ooh. I'm looking.
I have to
insert some music here or something.
I'm not insert. Okay. I will ask Amanda my...
Yeah, do that.
I'll just ask Amanda my next question and we can jump back to the anchor. So the question I wrote down here is this with Luffy talking about, you know, it would be smart to have a doctor, but not until we get a musician.
Mm-hmm.
Amanda, like, what... profession do you think joins the crew next?
Ooh, that's a good question. I was kind of hoping that doctor would go with them, but did not. So that's a good question. I guess I would think it would be a musician because he's just talked about it. So
I know he's talked about the musician so much.
That's a good one. I kind of didn't really think about that, but
that's okay.
What else do they need? So they need a musician, they need a doctor. What else are they looking? Have they said what else they're looking for? I don't.
Not really. I mean, like they could use someone to fix the boat if there's any damages that. That's like a possibility.
I feel like Usopp could do that though, right?
Yeah.
How well though?
Well,
or like, you know, maybe like a helmsman or something like that to maybe.
Right. I did wonder who's steering that ship.
Yeah, I think
like just because Nami can navigate, does that mean she's doing the steering too?
Honestly, I'm trying to think it on who steers it most of the time, like. And I don't know. Like, it might be Nami, it might be other people. I don't know.
They could use a seamstress to fix the sails if there's any problems with that, and then make their clothes.
Okay.
They're wearing the same stuff.
That's a good idea.
Zoro needs a new Hawaiian shirt.
Okay, I like it. Whitney, who do you think? Like, what profession do you have any ideas might join the crew next?
I don't. I think all those are really good answers. Great job.
Okay.
I really think they need a doctor before they need a musician, but obviously Luffy does not. But this is the same thing, right? He insisted they have a cook before anything else, which I guess... A cook is important, but you could just eat food for a while till you get a cook. Like, you don't necessarily have to have a gourmet chef living on your boat. Somebody who knows how to steer the ship and take care of the ship is good. Seamstress would be a good idea because they're probably going to need new clothes after a while, the wear and tear and the sails. Yeah, that's a good idea.
I think Nami's got the treasury down.
Yeah.
Like, managing the money.
Honestly, though, would you trust her with it? I don't know.
I don't know.
Why did she steal their wallets at the end?
I don't know.
That was the biggest fuck you that I've ever seen. I was like, what the hell?
It's an interesting send-off.
And they were pissed, too. They were like, that little brat, I'm going to miss her. And I'm like, are you?
The thing that redeems it for me is the fact that Nojiko did mention that she left all of the treasure from Arlong Park in the house.
Yeah, but like, what if somebody had just gone to the bank and got a huge withdrawal out?
That's fair.
What about all their IDs? They're going to have to all get new licenses again driver's for all license. The cars that they drive.
I wonder,
somebody put their social security card in there? You're not supposed to do that. But what if somebody did?
Do they have social security cards in One Piece? I don't know. Oh, that. I don't know about the whole driver's license or social security card or ID or anything like that. The photo, though, that 100%, we can easily guess that someone's got that in the One Piece world.
Wow.
And something else that just popped into my head. What about someone to handle, like, public relations for the crew? the crew needs an HR person.
I'm trying to think of all the HR complaints they would see. Some sexual harassment by Sanji.
Yeah.
Usopp just getting on my damn nerves. Workplace environment. Yeah.
Yeah, they need like safety. Somebody to figure out safety.
OSHA. Yeah. They need an OSHA supervisor.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Whitney, did you have the weight of that anchor yet?
16 tons is how much Titanic.
Let's see.
Well, let me finish. The Titanic's anchor. I'm pretty sure the Titanic is bigger than the Going Mary.
That's fair.
But not that much. I mean, it's still going to be a big anchor, okay? So I would just like to point out that Zoro can lift me with one hand. And I'm so happy with that right now.
Like, I was going to say, the thing is, don't forget the Mary is a boat, not a ship, because it only has, the difference between a boat and a ship is how many masts it has. The Mary has two, so technically it's a boat.
Nobody gives a shit. It's still a heavy anchor.
It's still a heavy-ass anchor. I would still say it's easily, the anchor has to be about 2,000 pounds on the low side, so... I will give you, yes, Zoro could lift you with one hand.
Yeah, Derek's like, well, it's 2,000 pounds, so I think he could just lift you up barely.
I didn't say just. I didn't say barely. I said he could.
Like, I'll give you that. I'll give you that. 2,000 pounds. He could definitely do it.
Yeah, see? A lot of confidence behind that statement. I didn't, like, second guess it at all. Like, whatever.
I want to see how I can make Derek right now. Hello, HR.
No one fucking call him. Is that a Diet Mountain Dew?
Yeah. What? Why is that funny?
Nothing.
You're saying I need to be drinking Diet Derek?
That's Whitney. That's exactly where I was going.
All right. You all heard it.
Turning into that gas station attendant.
Oh my God, sure, man.
The
old hag. Nobody here knows what I'm talking about.
Well, I mean, you're welcome to expand if you want to.
Quick story. I just went in the gas station and I wanted a drink because I didn't have any soda at the house. And I got a Diet Mountain Dew. They were two for $4. And I was like, okay, because they were the big ones. And so I grabbed two and I'm waiting in line and I see the fudge rounds, you know, the little Debbie snack cakes. And I was like, man, I haven't had one of those in forever. I'm going to grab one because I'm tired of working and I have a long drive home. And yeah, so I put my two Diet Mountain Dews and my fudge round on the counter. And this old hag looks at me from behind the counter and goes, Diet Mountain Dew and this? Well, that's something. Who asked you, first of all?
Oh, man. Bitch. I fucking hate people like that. I hate
And I'd like to too. Say I went in my car and, like, threw my fudge round out the window, but I didn't. I ate it, and I laughed about it. So, aha.
Yeah.
Those are so
anyway,
good.
Don't comment on what people are eating unless you are saying, oh, man, that looks good.
Yeah, exactly.
That? I've 100% never had agree. It before. What's it taste like? Don't be like, are you eating that? Like, you don't know. Like what if I had an eating disorder?
Yeah.
And you just set me off. But people don't think when they say shit like that.
No.
I know. And a lot say of people like just that. Enjoy the taste of diet better.
I do. Some. That's why I drink it. Yeah. I'm not saying some I don't need to better. Be. I do need to drink diet, but like I like it better. And I always drink diet whatever. So fuck off.
Yeah. Old
gas station lady. I don't need your opinion.
Yeah, nobody needs to hear that shit.
I'll start calling her Rat Face. She's
nice.
She said, Diet Mountain Dew. Here, here.
Yeah. She said it like
Okay. Amanda, I know we kind of, you talked about the anchor with Zoro. Did you have anything else on this episode you wanted to talk about?
Just that Nami's got serious avoidance issues piecing out from the whole town.
Without saying bye to anybody and just stealing their wallets.
I get it, but you want to like make a quick exit there, but she was doing all of that work to get them their town back. Mm-hmm. She could have at least, you know, just, you can stand on the boat before it takes, you know, not takes off, but sets sail. And just, you know, shout at everybody, hey, thanks for your support all this time. I left you all the money. Have a good life.
Yeah.
Peace out. Yeah. Like, her sister's still there. What the hell? She just left without saying anything to her sister?
I think she did steal her wallet, though.
I know. Yeah. I mean, Jesus. Again, with the, we already went over that, but that was rude. She could have left. She could have taken like one bag of money for them, for the group,
and not, just left not the rest of it
and
wallet.
Left them their wallets. Like, that was an unnecessary thing to do there.
Agreed.
Whitney, what did you think of this episode?
I think you're right about Nami. I just didn't really get it. I didn't get it. I think it was meant to be a like, haha, that's old Nami, just like she always is. But I was like, that's so unnecessary, because everybody knows now, or they always knew, that she was really a good person and was trying to help them. Like, it was just so weird. That was a weird ending for me. The thing that I liked the most about this whole episode was, one, the tattoo, which I thought was really cool. The
pinwheel. I loved that.
But also when it flashed back to show why the pinwheel was even important.
I did love that.
Pinwheel was only there because Genzo was scaring baby Nami and he put it on his hat and it made her laugh. And I just thought, it's like her dad. Like, he's like her dad. And that is so sweet. And I love him. And I think it was this episode when it pans out. I think Nojiko's like, where's your pinwheel? And I can't remember what he said. Something like, I don't need it anymore or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it pans out from Bellamere's grave, and there's a tangerine in the pinwheel. And I was like, that's actually kind of cool. Yeah, I did like that a lot. And I can't remember, oh, it was this episode where it flashes back to when Nami first got her Arlong tattoo, and it showed that Nojiko got tattoos as well to make her feel better. Mm-hmm. So that was really sweet. I wish Nojiko was around more. I like her character.
I do too. I love Nojiko.
It's really cool. Yeah.
And it's funny because I remember, you know, I've always known about this tattoo that Nami got, but I guess I forgot the little line where the doctor tells Genzo what it is with the pinwheel and the tangerine. And I had completely forgotten what that was. And so honestly, it makes me love the tattoo that much more now, for sure. Yeah. And yeah, I really liked the pinwheel thing. I agree. I'm going to miss Nojiko. And then I did have a quote from Luffy here that I loved in this episode.
I hope it's the one I wrote down. Go.
So Genzo is standing at...
yes,
at Bellamere's grave.
Yes.
And Luffy's like sitting there with a shit ton of meat in his mouth, diggity. And he's like, did somebody die? and Genzo's like, yeah. And Luffy goes, I give you to my conveniences. Wait, my sincere compliments. My darkest concussions.
Such an idiot.
I loved it. And then Genzo just finally goes, deepest condolences.
I paused that episode so many times just so I could write the whole thing down.
Oh, that was so fucking funny.
So funny.
I like that that's a running bit now, that he just can't say those phrases correctly.
Yeah, yeah. Just can't say shit. Yeah, that was great. I loved that. And then the last thing that I wanted to ask you about this episode is more about the specific character as a whole. So I know most of our time watching One Piece now, both of you have hated Nami, because she's been all over the place. She's been an asshole. She's been extremely greedy and conceited. And now that we've finally got an arc with her backstory and kind of a reason, you know, we understand now why she is the way that she is. How are you feeling about Nami?
Better. I understand her motivations now, which is good. Don't know if I excuse all of it, but I would like to see her grow now that she's free of all that stuff. I want to see like her learn to be around people, basically, who she likes, hopefully, and who like her too. So
yeah, and I think it's fair what Whitney said. I think last episode, maybe, or last week, or maybe the week before, something like that. I think it was last week, about seeing how she, I think what else will kind of add to it is seeing how she interacts with the crew following this, now that she's not got two thoughts kind of in her head. I think that's definitely fair still, and we have not seen that yet since she just now joined. But anyway, continue. Sorry, I interrupted there.
No, I think that was about it. I'm excited to see where she goes next. So hopefully, I know she's still going to be sneaky and thieving and stuff, because I think that's just, like, she's good at it. So, I mean, why not, I suppose. But as long as she doesn't run off with her ship again, then it's fine for the moment.
Whitney, what about you? I know you said better.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much what Amanda said. I'm better now, but I'm still ready to see how she acts. And at the beginning of the next episode, I'll talk about it a little bit more, because I wasn't impressed at the beginning of the next episode. She's really going to have to work a little harder.
Okay.
To get me to like her.
Okay. So are you guys ready to move on to the next episode then?
Yes.
Okay. Well, this episode in particular was kind of all over the place, which I liked. I'm not saying I thought it was a bad thing. I every once in a while they'll do these episodes, kind of, especially when there's a new bounty, because we get to see Luffy's bounty is set at 30 million berries for his first bounty. So that's really cool. And I am kind of keeping track of it, because honestly, once you get like farther into these episodes, sometimes it's kind of hard to remember, especially whenever other crew members start getting bounties, who's got what bounty. So that is something I'm going to keep track of. And also, sometimes it's easy to forget who the warlords are. So I've also been writing down who our warlords are that we know at this point in time. So right now, all we know is Hawkeye and Jinbei. Those are the only two warlords we know the names of. But anyway, so I was excited to finally see that number drop of Luffy getting his 30 million berry bounty. But I will go ahead and like open it up. In this particular episode, who did you enjoy seeing, or what scenes were you enjoying? What scenes you want to talk about? Just open the floor. What did you love or hate?
I wasn't super crazy about the marine fight. I mean, I understand why it was necessary to have a little bit of action and to show some of the characters that we've come into contact with, but it was just very quick and easy kind of, and I'm talking specifically about full body, right? Because full body, we had seen at the Baratier, Sanji completely humiliated him and they defeated him. And it comes in the middle of this process of all of the former, I guess, enemies of Luffy's crew seeing this wanted poster that has been made. of him and the back of Usopp's head, which he will not let us forget about. But it was a very, like, it was a quick way to be like, oh, this guy who was a hotshot got demoted. He's watching this like ragtag group of Marines. They're not anything special, and they get defeated very, very quickly. Zoro sliced a cannonball that they shot at him, which I thought was crazy. But what I loved about the rest of this episode is that, right, we got to see this, and I don't know what the name of it is, but it's like this hall of, I guess they're all Marines or they're branches of something, and they look very official, and they're basically having a meeting in the war room, like, hey, we've got posters of, I believe it was Buggy, Krieg, and Arlong on this board, and then they slap Luffy's dumb, you know, his dumb face on the wanted poster over top, and he's like, he's defeated all of these pirates, so he's, you know, public enemy number one, right? And so we're seeing this information get out to all the people who are finally going to know Luffy is something to be reckoned with, but also this could be dangerous, right? And it's funny, the crew discovers that they have wanted posters because, you know, Nami is buying this newspaper that she abuses a poor bird
from the bird
delivering for, which I'm, like I said, not impressed yet. Anyway, they all start celebrating except for Zoro and Nami. They're the only two that realize this could be bad for us, right? Because if you put this bounty on Luffy, people are going to come looking. And they've wronged a lot of people. Not wronged, but you know what I mean? They've defeated a lot of people who could want revenge plus the money. And I think it's Zoro who makes the point, like, if they put this much berries on Luffy, they're not just going to send somebody. They're going to send somebody good, which is a problem, right? Meanwhile, Sanji and Luffy and Usopp are celebrating, like, we're wanted, we're famous. They're so excited because they're idiots. But I loved getting to see those people that we've already seen. That was exciting. Plus, we saw somebody new-ish. I guess you could call him new. I don't know. Can I go ahead and talk about this? Or
go for it.
Okay. Yeah. So we saw, I don't want to take anything away from you, Amanda.
You're good.
We saw, is it Kobe? Was that his name?
Kobe, yeah.
Kobe.
Eat shit.
And you know, it wasn't a lot, but it was funny because he was like happy for Luffy, but also then he realized, like, oh man, we're enemies because I'm a mopping the floor at a marine place, right? So he realizes that. But we see Mary again, which is exciting, and Kaya, which is less exciting. We saw, let's see who else, Full Body, which I talked about, but then we pan to Hawkeye again, and he lands on this island, which, holy shit, guess who's on the island?
Gaimon.
The one, God, I would die. No. The one and only Shanks. He's still alive. I was wondering this whole time, like, where is this guy at? And he's super excited that Luffy has made it of sorts. He's kind of like, oh yeah, you know, he set out this big dream he had and he's made it. He's famous. He's a pirate. And I was kind of surprised that they said they're that close to the Grand Line. Like, they're almost there.
They're getting close. About
how to get there. And that's exciting to me because I really want to see what it looks like. I was kind of confused because at the very, very end, they show a little raft boat with what looks like Buggy's hands to me, but they didn't show his face, but it looked like his hands and his kind of, I call it like a Prince Charming shoulder, you know, like from Cinderella. He had the tassels. If you guys know what I'm talking about, it's like a military uniform with tassels on the shoulder.
Okay.
It looked like Buggy to me, but I don't know. Cause he had the white, like, Mickey Mouse gloves on. And then it showed a heart shaped boat, which made me think of, What's her face? Alvida.
Alvida.
But the woman that was looking at his wanted poster did not look like Alvida. It was a very non-toad looking woman, right? So I don't know what's going on there, but it was interesting to see those people again. So I guess they're coming back. I don't know.
Yeah, I was really excited to see a lot of these people, but I will let Amanda go next.
Yeah, no, just pretty much the same. I was excited to see some of them again. Some of them not so excited to see again. But I was excited to see that Shanks and Hawkeye seem to be friends, or at least they're on like friendly terms with each other. So that's interesting. And then, yeah, I don't know who this mystery woman is at the end. She looked dangerous. I don't know who she is exactly. I was happy to see Mary again and to know that he didn't like have delayed onset death from that beating that he got.
Didn't die of an infection.
I like how Mary is our favorite character.
I love it. Like, oh, Mary's back.
I know. I literally was like, oh, Mary. Yeah. I'm so excited.
This makes no sense, but is Kaya going to be their doctor? She's going to like skip through 8 years of school and like
exactly
be like, hey guys, I'm ready.
She's just that smart.
I totally forgot that line, that random ass line. I'm going to be a doctor.
Yeah, because she was, when they showed the both of them, she looked like she was sitting at a desk. And I was like, what are you doing? Studying for doctor school?
Maybe it doesn't take as much to be a doctor. Maybe it's kind of like how it used to be in this country, where you could just basically, I don't know how to give shots and pour liquor on an open wound. And you were a doctor in the 1700s.
I mean, that's a possibility. I guess we don't know. I'm not really sure what it would take to be a doctor in One Piece world. I agree. I was kind of excited to see Kuro again, because honestly, I thought he was gone. So I was excited to get another glimpse of him and like see he's chilling, even though we got no reaction out of him at all. So I'm not exactly sure why they failed to show him, but that's fine.
Just his cool. Stupid glasses up one more
exactly. Time. He had to push his glasses ship. Up in his fucking so cat ship.
The one Marine, he took the wanted poster to the jail cell. Was that Krieg?
That was
in the jail cell?
That was Captain Morgan from
that whenever was Captain Morgan. Got... Okay, yeah. I can't remember which one it was. Did we see Krieg?
I don't think so, no.
I don't think we did either, because I don't remember. I thought that was him, but I couldn't remember.
I don't have it wrote down anywhere. Granted, I didn't write Captain Morgan down, but I do remember Captain Morgan.
He had like something on his face.
Yeah, that's Captain Morgan, like, because he's got the steel jaw thing, because Kuro broke his jaw.
That's what I forgot about. Okay.
And then did you catch who was in the background with Kobe?
No.
I saw the person, but I didn't know who it was.
It was Helmeppo.
Was it? I noticed the blonde guy.
Ew. Yeah. Oh. Yeah, it was Kobe and Helmeppo.
Mopping the floor. Good. I hope he's miserable.
Oh man, I was sitting there thinking about like all the things that you guys would have to say about that one little 5 second scene.
Gross.
And then Luffy's poster hanging in the Baratier. We didn't get. Well, I guess we did get to see like a shot of Zeff like standing off in the. Off the balcony, and then the poster hanging in the Baratier. So that was pretty cool. I loved seeing Mihawk and Shanks. I love anytime Shanks is on screen. Shanks is my freaking favorite. So I was excited to see how excited Shanks was over Luffy, like finally getting there, you know, and he, you know, just being excited that that this little kid that he remembers is finally a pirate and finally doing the thing. And you know, that's, you know, so it was really cool. And I really like to see, like you said, Amanda, I'm not sure if it's like a, just an extremely strong mutual respect between Hawkeye and Shanks. I think that it would have to be at least that or a little more in order for Mihawk to literally seek Shanks out and be like, hey, why don't you tell me about these guys? What the hell's going on here? Is this the kid that you used to tell me about? Like, I feel like there at least has to be some sort of solid friendship there. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe not like drinking all the time. Obviously, Mihawk is not much of a drinker since he was kind of declining a little bit. But yeah, so I was excited to see Shanks again. And we got to see Makino again. I was really excited to see Makino. What, Whitney, why are you looking at me with a blank face?
I don't know who that is.
Makino is the green-haired girl that was in Luffy's flashback with Shanks.
Oh, the bartender.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I forgot her name. Yeah.
So I was excited to see Makino again. And then the last thing that I really liked is that toward the end of the episode, we get to see Nami and Luffy sit down over a map. So we get a good idea of the map of the Grand Line. Again, listeners, if you haven't seen that, if you know, you can go back and watch the episode, or I also posted a picture of it a few weeks ago on Instagram too. So we kind of get an idea of how they're going to have to enter the Grand Line a little bit. But we also get the name drop of where we're going to next, which is Logtown, and then Grand Line after that. And like Nami said, Logtown is the birthplace of Gold Roger, and also the place where he was executed. So we're probably going to get a little bit more story, or kind of like some more feeling with that as well. So I'm excited for this next little bit in Logtown. We're going to be up on the end of this arc before we know it. Like, it's because, like, while the end of the arc is at episode 61, yeah, it sounds like it's 16 episodes away, but there's also quite a bit of filler in there. So we're going to be getting there pretty fast. I think actually next week we hit the following week we hit the end of the arc. So it's coming up fast, but yeah. Anything that you guys are thinking or expecting from Logtown at all?
I don't know. I'm wondering if one of these old nemeses are going to show. I'm interested to hear more about the King of the Pirates. I hope that we learn some more about him and like why he was killed, and like, was it just because he was a pirate, or like, I don't know what the One Piece is. I want to know what the One Piece is. What is it? Like, why?
That is a great question that is still to this day unanswered.
Wonderful.
Yeah. One
news.
So the only thing that Oda has said in regards to the One Piece, the only sort of clue that we've gotten is that it is something tangible. He said one of the things that pissed him off more than anything when he was a little kid was the Wizard of Oz, where like the prize at the end is the adventure that you had with your friends on the way there. he's like, no, the prize is not, the One Piece is not the friendship. It's not the adventure.
it's the love that was in your heart.
Oh. Exactly. He's like, no, it's nothing stupid like that.
None of that metaphorical shit.
Exactly. So it is
a genie lamp. Oh, it's a gum fruit that can help you swim.
Something like that. So I know there are more hints dropped along the way, that but it's still vague as to what it is. Like, there we will get hints, but still not for sure. So yeah, that's a good question.
Okay.
Amanda, any other thoughts, expectations as we kind of get ready to go into this next arc, or anything else on this episode in particular?
I'm excited to see Logtown. I would like to know what it looks like. I think they've done a good job at kind of making every little stop that we've had look very distinct to its own, you know, location. So I'm excited to see what it looks like. And then they called it the City of the Beginning and the End, which is, they didn't really go into that, but I'm assuming we'll kind of figure out what that means.
I think that's because, like, it was where Gold Roger was born and then where he died, I think.
Gotcha. Yeah, that makes sense.
But I know, I mean, like, they kind of showed on the map, it's basically right next to the entrance of the Grand Line.
Hmm.
So that could be part of it, too.
Mm-hmm.
Is, like the beginning of the Grand Line, but also the end of your life kind of thing because of the treachery of the Grand Line. So I could see it going a few different ways. But yeah. So Whitney, anything else on this episode before we call it a day?
Nope. I just want to apologize. Last week, I forgot to post our little pirate pal.
Oh no.
But I thought maybe we could do a twofer this week, but we still didn't come up with a name for the guy last time. We got to come up with a name.
Oh no. I thought we came up with Freddie Prinze Jr.
Did we?
I don't know.
Is that real?
No. I know we called him John Bon Jovi. Yeah, that guy. He totally looks like a Bon Jovi.
John Bon Jovi. Okay. So I'll show you this guy tonight if you can see it.
Cool. Let's do our pirate pal.
It's hard to see, but he's the guy.
I kind of see him.
Showed up to tell Shanks that Hawkeye was there.
Yes.
He's wearing a gold chain. He's got really poofed up gray, like 80s hair. He looks like he's straight out of like 1989, 1990. He looks and awesome.
And Mihawk just plain made him piss himself.
Yeah. He was very terrified. He came to tell Shanks that Mihawk was there. He's covered in scars. He's wearing a sleeveless purple shirt. It's amazing. But I just thought he had a good aesthetic. It was hard to find a good pirate this set of episodes because all the fishmen were out.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a lot of Marines and villagers, but not a lot of pirates till that last episode to choose from. So I guess we could have John Bon Jovi and MC Hammer.
I love it.
MC Hammer-ish. We can do a twofer.
You should make it MC Hammered since he has a drink in front of him. I mean, granted, I know it's Shank's drink, but still.
We hammered. hammer apostrophe D.
Yes. I love it. Okay. Any quotes left from these episodes? No. I had two left. One was Usopp at the end of episode 43, so it was right after Zoro beat the shit out of Nozomi and sent them packing. And Usopp said, "What next? Are we in super big trouble or what? What do we do? Guy, you're a fucking pirate. Of course you're going to be in trouble. Like, how stupid do you have to be? Did you really think you were going to get out of this without being wanted by the world government?" Like, I just thought that was a stupid ass line by Usopp. I thought it was very fitting.
Pretend. That's all he wants to do. He wants to play pirate and not have any real consequences.
Yeah, very fitting line for him. Annoyed the piss out of me. And then I had a quote from Zoro at the very beginning of this last episode, 45. And Sanji was like guarding Nami's tangerines or something like that. And Zoro's just sitting off to the side, half asleep. And he's just like, "Old Sanji's getting used, poor bastard."
He is getting used. But you know what? I'm all for a strong female. So go for it.
Yep. Go for it.
I'll let you.
Okay. MVP's nominations. You forget one?
No, I don't know. It's
okay.
I mean,
maybe
I feel like Luffy was the star of these five episodes, you know?
I can explain a little bit, but that's what I'm feeling. I'm feeling Luffy here.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of what I was thinking too. Because I mean, he was the most effective participant in this bunch.
Yeah, I mean, he beat Arlong, which is big. And then the scene with him throwing the desk and everything out of the, out of that top floor and, you know, breaking Nami's prison cell, metaphorically, you know. And then even offering Genzo his sincere compliments. Like, I just think he did so much in these episodes. And I know there's been a few times where he's been discussed for the MVPs in the past. We have yet to give it to Luffy.
I feel like he single-handedly really won these five episodes.
Yeah, I think he deserves it this week. So
yeah, I do too.
Yeah, I'm good with that. I mean, it's the end of an arc too, so I feel like it's appropriate. We don't have to wait for, you know, another time. I'm sure we'll get it a few more times, but
yeah, right. I'm sure he will too. But okay, cool. So Luffy gets our MVPs this week. And lastly, our piece of shit award. Amanda, any nominations?
I couldn't really think of anybody for this either, because it's kind of like, I mean, Arlong's still a piece of shit.
Yeah, that's who I went with, because I had trouble finding someone that really stood out to me. But and I hate giving it to Arlong just because, like, he's the bad guy, of course. He's supposed to be a piece of shit, but like the whole Nami is mine thing or whatever. Yeah,
that's what got me. That was what made me choose Arlong, because he basically was like, I own this human. And I was like, no.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
Yeah. So I mean, wow, we just went like unanimous on both MVPs and piece of shit. That's crazy.
I know.
How the hell did we do that?
I mean, we also have been with this same collection of people for a long time. So it's kind of been getting, it's harder to like narrow it down.
Yeah.
Hard harder to choose one when it's been narrowed down.
Yeah. And it's, you know, and everyone's done a lot too. But, and then, so we already got our pirate pals out of the way. So listeners, we are at the point now, we kind of talked at the introduction that watch through episode 45. And if you don't at least like the show, feel free to stop. By no means am I saying that any of this is the best parts of One Piece. The parts that will make your jaw drop are still much farther. Well, not a lot farther. There's still some really, really cool moments coming up that I'm really excited to get to. If you're not at least liking it by this point, then you're not going to appreciate any of the stuff that's going to happen in the future. So if you're watching it and still like, you know, the show's just not for me, feel free to stop. Completely understandable. You know, you've gotten to the point where you at least have a solid idea of what One Piece is building toward in the future. So that part of the challenge is complete. Episodes. Yeah. Episodes next week. We are shaking things up a slight bit, just because the fact we are coming up on the close of the arc. So episodes next week are actually 46 through 51. So we're doing 6 episodes next week. Per the website that we're kind of following, I think it's animefillerlist.com. Both 46 and 47 are partial filler episodes. So part of it's canon, part of it's filler. I already did kind of watch the episodes to get an idea of what exactly we're going into filler-wise. And so based on what I'm understanding, basically the parts with the Straw Hats are filler. And everything else is canon and in the manga. So 46, 47, that's something to keep in mind. And we probably won't be talking about that too terribly much. I mean, you know, if there's something that that we need Amanda to like in those episodes, like some funny quotes or whatever, or anything that happens, where we can absolutely talk about those. Yeah, so 6 episodes next week, and our buddy John is going to join us next week, so it's exciting to have him back on. So we're looking forward to that. Whitney, Amanda, anything else that you guys want to talk about before we close?
I just randomly thought about this, but the last couple episodes where we saw people drinking, they all had these little barrels that they were drinking out of. There was like mini kegs. Those are really cute, and I want one.
I need one too.
But I have to make them somewhere. We'll have to look.
That and a Luffy flavored, or no, not Luffy flavored. That and a sparkling water with Luffy on the can that is yogurt flavored.
I'd try a Zoro flavored. What?
Amanda already said that tastes like honey, okay?
I'll bring you one. I'll go to the store and I'll bring you one, Whitney.
Exciting. Oh my gosh. And speaking of, we're going to a comic con this weekend, me and Amanda, and I'm wondering if there'll be anything One Piece. I wonder if anybody will be dressed up.
Ooh. Oh, that would be really cool.
If there is, we'll take some pictures.
We
I'm the one.
will. Yeah.
I'm the boring one that's not going, so
So boring. And it's not because we didn't ask him either. He just
they did
does
it.
not like us very much.
No, his drive is too long. It is long though. It's tiring.
Boom.
It's like, what'd you say, 11 hours?
It's an 8.5 hour drive.
Okay, well.
Yeah.
Five and a half for me.
Lame.
I know. And if I wasn't driving a leased vehicle and I didn't have to watch my miles, I would so do it because I love road trips. But yeah.
Okay. What if we just show up at your house afterward?
Go for it.
What if
Go for it. You guys show up at the house. I'll even buy you dinner.
This is an old joke for anyone who's listening, but me and Amanda have always planned on showing up randomly at Derek's house and hiding in the bushes and just flipping him off through the window. That's all. That's all we're gonna
Yeah.
do.
Yep. I would that would absolutely crack me up. And it wouldn't be the first time either. I've had people hiding in my bushes trying to get pictures, you know. I mean, that's what happens when you're as amazing as I am.
That is weird.
Let's call the police. Yeah. Ooh.
Yes. All right, guys. Anything else before we all good? Yeah.
That's
Okay.
all, folks.
Found
What a way to wrap
some canned melon.
So you can support the show on Twitter and Instagram at GoingMerryPod. And you can also support the show by leaving a 5-star rating on your podcast platform of choice. News actually hit me this week that Stitcher is going to be shutting down. So that sucks because that's the main platform that I use. So I'm like slowly transferring to Apple Podcast myself. But I know on Spotify, you can't like leave actual feedback. You can only leave 5-star ratings or however many stars you want to give. And I know Apple Podcast allows you to do both, including, you know, written review with stars, or you can just do stars on Apple Podcast. I'm not sure about Google Podcasts. I've never used Google Podcasts, so I don't know what their rating system is. Stitcher doesn't even have a rating system. I think that's weird as shit.
Useless.
Yeah, like I love Stitcher, but I think that's weird as shit that you can't rate, you know, give feedback on shows on Stitcher. But anyway, we very much appreciate you guys watching along with us. Send us some feedback. Let us know what you guys are thinking about these episodes, if you're liking the show or not, who your MVPs would be, you know, let us know. We'd love to hear from you. So, Amanda, Winnie, any last words before we call it good? I know I've asked you like 7 times
Like
now,
my
but
fifth last word.
yeah, no.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.